We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your South of the Border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Well, all right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Friday. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station. And, of course, the studio station is the YouTube website. You go to YouTube and you get our streaming there at the South Point Studios Streaming Network at YouTube from the South Point Hotel Casino here in Las Vegas on Las Vegas Boulevard in the South Point Studios. So we welcome you. Good morning. And, of course, all of the listeners here running around town at our local radio station outlet that you can hear us. So while you're zipping around town and getting caught in all that traffic, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well and our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, and Google phone. With the apps, the KSHP app will let you listen through the radio station, and, of course, the YouTube app, you can see and hear us on your device as well. So anyhow, any way you get us, anyhow you get us, anytime you get us, welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. All right, well, the weather is the key factor in horse racing. It has been all week, and it's going to be again this week and this weekend especially. As you know, Oaklawn Park canceled the races today for Friday, the Friday card today, because of the freezing temperatures that the whole nation is going through right now. I mean, the entire nation, for the most part, is below regular freezing weather. I mean, it's just bitterly cold in places. But that's going to change. That's going to change. If we can get through the next 24 to 48 hours, the warmth is coming. The regular temperatures at this time of the year will prevail by Sunday and certainly through next week. As a matter of fact, here in Las Vegas, by Tuesday, they tell us we're going to be in the 80s. They said 81 on Tuesday. Right now, though, it's in the 40s right now here in Las Vegas. We're going to get up to, I think, about 70, 71 degrees today here in Las Vegas. But as far as the nation is concerned, it's really bitterly cold, especially through the racing, the racing areas that we talk about a lot in New York. And, of course, in Arkansas, where the big racing card at Oaklawn is going to happen on Sunday now, because today's been canceled. Today's card goes to tomorrow. They bump tomorrow's card into Sunday. And Sunday, of course, is the Rebel Stakes and the Honey Bee and six stakes races overall at Oaklawn Park. So that'll happen on Sunday now at Oaklawn. Now, the other tracks in the area there with the South and, of course, up in the East Coast, we had cancellations yesterday. When we went on the air yesterday, the cancellations were Mahoning Valley and Turfway Park. As we mentioned yesterday on the show, by the time we get off the air and the racing starts throughout the country, and especially for the tracks later on, that there may be more cancellations, and there were. There were two more cancellations, Louisiana Downs and Charlestown, both canceled yesterday, okay? So you had four tracks that canceled because of the weather, the freezing weather, and those two happened after we were done with the show yesterday. Parks Racing, which is not scheduled to go today anyhow, but Parks Racing is going to add a racing card next Thursday for one of their cancellations this past week, okay? Parks goes on Thursday, the 27th of the month. Now, as far as today, again, the only cancellation is Oaklawn Park, so we're going to keep our fingers crossed about any more cancellations. But the weather is really frigid right now in a lot of parts of the country. As far as anything else happening, well, you got a little snow in Ohio and parts of West Virginia and parts of Pennsylvania and in the western part of New York, but it didn't look like it's going to get any further than that as far as the snow is concerned. And there's a big storm. There's a big, huge storm that's happening, that's developing in the northwest, Washington, Oregon, et cetera, maybe Northern California, that will come in between the weekend and next week. But it didn't look like it'll happen to affect any of the racing that we have on the West Coast. So that's the latest on the weather. That is the key factor for horse racing right now this weekend. All right. Heisa. A nice Heisa said that their safety record is was a lot better than 2024 than it was in 2023. As far as Heisa is concerned, their records there are better, they say, because of all of the work that they're doing as far as the horses. There's like, I think they say, one horse, one fatality for every 1,000 horses that have been entered and running. So good news, at least for that. I mean, we're putting up with Heisa and all their regulations, etc. It might as well have a positive effect somewhere along the line, and it was. The improvement of fatalities on the racetracks that Heisa oversees, better in 2024 than 2023. Here's a real one for you. First Racing, that operates Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park and some other racetracks, First Racing is going to have parimutuel wagering on NASCAR. They got parimutuel wagering on NASCAR for Southern California. I got, you know, there's got to be more to that story than that, but the headline was First Racing has done a deal with NASCAR for parimutuel racing on NASCAR. Churchill Downs got an important injunction relief. Churchill Downs had an injunction in Michigan that will allow their website, their off-track betting website, allowed to take bets from people in Michigan, even though the Michigan Racing Commission and Gaming Commission did not okay it. All right, they got it in a judgment, in a ruling in a court in Michigan, that will allow them to do that without the permission of the Michigan gaming and racing board there. That could open up a can of worms. We'll wait and see about that. We'll just check on that, that's for sure. And, of course, the National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame has their final 16 finalists for voting this year. We'll get into that a little bit later. But outside of that, that's just about all the news that we're talking about here on the show. Saudi Cup tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, the Saudi Cup will be here at the South Point. You can come to the South Point and play the Saudi Cup tomorrow morning. Now, they're going to open the book and the betting at 5 a.m. Any of the races, obviously, that may have been contested before that on the Saudi Cup card will obviously not be able to, you won't be able to bet on. But at 5 a.m., any of the races throughout the rest of the Saudi Cup, you'll be able to bet through the parimutuel wagering, the commingled parimutuel wagering, the national parimutuel wagering pool, the Saudi Cup. Of course, a big night, a big day of racing, night of racing there, but a big early morning of racing here. And, of course, the big $20 million Saudi Cup race should go about to 9 a.m. Pacific time. So there will be racing. There will be betting on the Saudi Cup and the Saudi Cup card here. Can't wait to see that Breeders' Cup sprint winner run in the Riyadh sprint there. All right, on our show today, we got Jonathan Hardoon, Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry Jay. Got to tell you, we call it as we see them here on the show. When the handicappers are doing good, we'll tell you about it. But our handicappers have been 0 for the last 2 days. A big bupkis from our handicappers in the last 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday. So they're hopefully just building it all up for a lot of winners for us over the weekend. And we'll get their thoughts certainly on the show. So those are our handicappers for today. As far as what happened yesterday, Gulfstream Park, it was just a kind of a normal day of racing. Nobody had any doubles as far as the trainers are concerned. Edwin Gonzalez was the only jockey to visit the Wooden Circle more than once yesterday. He won the fourth race on a nice $25.60 winner and came back in the seventh race and won and paid $10 even there. The pick six, however, was rather handsome yesterday at Gulfstream Park. The pick six paid $22,838.44 for winners that started out with that $25.60 winner, then $4.80, $8.60, $10, $15.40, and a $14.80. So a lot of those middle-priced winners really made it happen in the pick six payoff yesterday at Gulfstream Park. All right, enough said about all that stuff. We got a lot to do. We got, of course, our racing menu. And our handicapper is standing by, so we'll take our first break of this Friday, reminding you that come on over to YouTube, find us on the YouTube network there, our streaming, the Race Day Las Vegas icon, get into our page, and then you can start chatting with the chat box. And the chat box is busy. It has been busy for a while. Glad to see everybody participating in that. If you want to participate in that, just go to that site, go to our page, and hit subscribe on the side where it says subscribe, then you can get in the chat box. The subscription is free, so if you're not a subscriber already, just hit subscription, subscribe, and then you'll start chatting away on the chat box. We'll be right back on this Friday show. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, temperatures around the country. As I say, here in Las Vegas, we're going to get up to about 67 to 70 degrees today. right around there. Miami, 73. They'll top out there at 73. In New York City, you've got 36 degrees. That's going to be the high in New York. But at least the sun is shining there. It's okay there. Chicago, 29 with the sun shining too there. And, of course, Phoenix, Arizona, 78. Los Angeles, 76. And we do have racing today in Los Angeles because Santa Anita does resume racing today. All right, let's go to the racing menu for you. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're here in Las Vegas, going to play the races in the book behind us, this will be the first post times, your first post times on this menu here in the Pacific time zone. If you're not in the Pacific time zone listening at all those platforms we have around the world, adjust from whatever time zone you're in to the Pacific time zone. This way you won't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. Here's the menu of racetracks available today. And we begin with Laurel Park. Laurel Park's first post time is set at 9:10 today at Laurel Park. They have a pick six jackpot carryover there of $1,797. Nine races, first post time, 9:10 at Laurel Park. Tampa Bay Downs has nine races today. Tampa Bay has a super high five carryover of $1,409. And they also have a pick six jackpot carryover of $61,426. Tampa Bay's first post time for nine races set at 9:25. Then we get to Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park has nine races today. Their first post time is at 9:50. Gulfstream has a pick six rainbow jackpot carryover standing at $86,170. Nine races again. First post time at Gulfstream, 9:50. Aqueduct, the big A in New York. Well, you already know about the temperature there in New York. They say it's going to be sunny degrees. Sunny degrees, and at the first post, it's going to be 29 degrees out there, but it's going to be sunny. That's good stuff there. And, of course, there are no carryovers at Aqueduct today. Eight races and a first post time of 10:10 at Aqueduct. The Fairgrounds, they'll start off racing at 10:45 with their eight-race card. Fairgrounds first post time, 10:45 today. Sunland Park has nine races. Sunland Park has a first post time of 11:25 at Sunland Park today for nine races. Santa Anita gets underway again with their racing for the weekend. Santa Anita has nine races today. Their first post time is at 12:30. 12:30 at Santa Anita. I know I don't do this much, but that crazy 3x3 bet that they have, three trifectas in a row or whatever, I mean, it's, I don't know anybody's played it yet, but the 3x3 carryover is $3,452. Nine races today at Santa Anita. First post time is at 12:30. Penn National has a first post time for 10 races. They got 10 races today at Penn National. First post time is 2:45. They have a super high five jackpot carryover, $2,833. And again, first post time Penn Nat is at 2:45. Delta Downs has 10 races with full fields. Delta Downs has 10 races. Their 10-race card will begin at 2:50. 2:50 first post at Delta Downs. Turfway Park continues to have full fields there. Hey, they got a nice feature race today at Turfway Park. The $175,000 Cincinnati Trophy for three-year-old fillies at a mile sees a field of 13 in that race. Flavian Pratt is at Turfway Park tonight. At least he's scheduled to ride the 3-1 favorite, Girl Math, in the Cincinnati Trophy tonight. That's the seventh race on the card. Turfway Park has 10 races and a first post time of 2:55. They got a pick six jackpot carryover, $27,055. First post time at Turfway, 2:55. And then we'll wrap it up with Charlestown if they go tonight. Right now they're on the schedule to go, but, you know, they canceled after the show was over yesterday. They are scheduled to go with eight races today at 4 p.m. with a pick six jackpot carryover of $9,791 at Charlestown today. All right, let's bring in Jonathan Hardoon. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Kind of interesting to see Flavian Pratt making his way to Turfway Park on the 3-1 favorite. I guess it's one of his main clients, however, and he is named on the horse. We'll wait and see if he shows up there. He is, however, not named on anything at Santa Anita today.
So maybe they planned on going, but I don't know if they're going to follow through because Turfway's been canceling the whole week. So it's pretty hard to make a commitment to a place that, you know, it's not easy to get to Turfway Park, Ralph. So
No,
especially from California. Good luck.
Not at all. That's for sure. But the Cincinnati airport is right. Actually, the Cincinnati airport actually sits in the state of Kentucky. It's on the side of Kentucky, but they call it the Cincinnati airport. So he can fly in and out real quick. But with the way planes are going these days, who knows about that? But in any case, it's a track that certainly has come up a long way. It used to be in the old days, was a nice track. But now with Churchill Downs operating it, they're going to go ahead and certainly have a lot.
Well, they redid it a few years ago, and supposedly it's a lot nicer now. And, out of all the tracks that really need to PETA, that's one track that really needs to PETA because their winter weather is brutal. It freezes and everything else. So when they had dirt, they would be canceling literally every other day. Now they only cancel maybe once a week or so. So if you ever needed a track that needed to PETA, that's the track for it.
Yeah, no question about that. That's for sure. Well, the National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame is going to induct more Hall of Famees here. And all I can say is this year ballot includes 8 horses, 7 trainers, 1 jockey. Horses up for vote is Smarty Jones and Groupie Doll. And, of course, others will be added to that as well. And the 1 jockey is, I believe, Jose...
George Chavez, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, George Chavez, right. They,
and he was a fan favorite in New York for many, many years, Ralph. They used to call him Chop Chop because he wouldn't last in this day and age with the HISA rules because he would hit a horse more than 6 times if there were 7 steps out of the gate. So he always rode him from start to finish. In this day and of HISA, he wouldn't have lasted long.
23-year career. He won 4,526 races, and he retired in 2011, and so did his whip. I guess he's the only jockey up for grabs there. One of the horses that continues to be on the ballot is Kona Gold, and I can't understand how this horse cannot get into the Hall of Fame.
It's really a total misjustice. It's ridiculous. He should have been in the first time he was on the Hall of Fame ballot, to be honest with you. And now it just keeps lingering. Every year they just throw his name in there to fill up the card. But he certainly belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, he won the Breeders' Cup Sprint, for goodness sakes. And he was one of the top sprinters from Southern California for at least a couple of years that I remember.
And I think he won it more than once, Ralph. Yeah, I think he won the more than once. Yeah. How could he not be in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, there's got to be some prejudice going on with the voting. All I can say is there are 7 trainers. Kenny McPeak is one of them off of the big year this year. And then the other trainers are Christophe Clement, Karen McLaughlin, Graham Mochin, Doug O'Neill, John Sadler, and John Sheriffs. So.
Yeah, so there should be a few of those names that make it. It's the only sport in the world, Ralph, where you get inducted into the Hall of Fame while you're still in the game. Usually, baseball, football, basketball, for the most part, they wait till you're retired and out of the game for a few years, but not in horse racing.
No, not at all. And all I can say about that is you can vote on more than one trainer. So, I mean, there could be quite a few trainers that get it, but they need the bulk of the voting to get in. And then
they need like 75% or something. Is that true?
Yeah. I don't know if as high as the 75%, but it's a majority number. That's for sure. What do you think about that?
And you get a vote, Ralph, you get to vote for that. I know you get to vote for Horse of the Year. You also get to vote for Hall of Fame.
Yeah. They're going to send, they gave me the notice yesterday via email. I'm going to get the packet of, for the voting and the balloting and, supposed to be mailing it out next week, and we'll find out. I vote for Kona Gold every year.
Obviously, he needs a few more Ralph Sirocco.
Well, what can I tell you? I mean, I'm doing my part. What do you think about that Michigan court judge ruling Wednesday, granting Churchill Downs a preliminary injunction that's going to allow Twin Spires to operate in the state in the case being closely watched by the racing industry? Because if your local gaming commission and or racing commission in the particular state does not have jurisdiction over that, They can go to any state they want to, I guess, after that.
Well, so they'll be going shopping for states that are probably, I don't think there's any horse racing nowadays in Detroit, but there was. So maybe they're picking on states that don't have horse racing in it. I don't know. I'm more interested in how First Bet got to book bets on NASCAR. Isn't that kind of like sports betting? How are they allowing that?
I don't know, but I saw the headline there. I did not read the entire column because I thought, there's more to come on that.
Yeah.
They got the approval to have parimutuel wagering on NASCAR. Now, parimutuel, obviously, you better have a lot of people. But you know what? If you ever want to go to one of those NASCAR races, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the stands.
Yeah.
So if they, if they decided just to do some, a little betting here.
Certainly popular in certain parts of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not much of a NASCAR fan, but I do have friends that love it. So
And you know, when you're going 200 miles an hour, that says something. That's for sure. But in any case, we're talking about the horsepower under the original horse hide and not the horsepower under
right.
the hood. So it will start early tomorrow morning with the Saudi Cup races and then move through the day. And, of course, on Sunday, now Sunday becomes kind of a really special day because they moved the entire Rebel card on Sunday to Oaklawn Park. And I'm hoping that that move and the fact that the weather does look like it's going to start breaking as far as the temperatures are concerned as well, was a good move.
Yeah, they're better off being safe, I guess, than sorry. And obviously, if they made that move, they knew of what they were doing, and they looked into it, and they're taking the safe way out.
Well, let's take a look at some of the races today, Jonathan. You guys got to get on the ball now. We need some winners here.
A day and a half without a winner, and you're all over me.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
Ralph.
Right, boy. I demand a lot from my listeners and my watchers.
All right, let's look at Aqueduct's sixth race today, Ralph. And to be honest with you, slim pickings at Aqueduct today, short fields, but we're going to make the best of it. In the sixth race today, I really like a horse in here, number five, Tetsu. This is a 9-year-old gelding who was claimed last April by trainer Richard Dutrow. The interesting thing about this is he laid him up all this time and he brings him back protected. Who's claiming a 9-year-old in for $25,000? The fact that he protects this horse and doesn't want to take a chance on losing him, certainly a positive sign for me. Lane Luzzi aboard to ride 3-1 on the morning line. Number five, Tetsu, wins today's sixth race out at Aqueduct.
All right, sixth race at Aqueduct, number five, Tetsu, the five in the sixth race. We have two horses in this race that are scratched. The one horse, Stewie, and the three horse, Courageous Ula. The one and three.
They were long cross horses, though, Ralph. It's still going to. Listen, what could I tell you? That's the race I'm stuck with.
That's okay. That's fine. I'm just giving it out for the listeners out there. Number five, Tetsu, with Lane Luzzi aboard in the sixth race today at Aqueduct. And I do want to make mention of, I like to razz you guys, but I do want to make mention of the fact that it's been absolutely slim picking for looking for any horses at the racetracks this week. Yesterday, and of course on Wednesday and today as well, they're kind of anemic cards out there, as you said at Aqueduct. So we're trying to search out winners for you, and in the sixth race we'll get the five Tetsu home at the Big A. What about our next pick?
Let's go to Gulfstream, race 9, 7 furlongs on the main track, and I love the number 7 horse in here, Both Sides. This is a 5-year-old mare from the Carlos Navarez barn. Edgar Perez aboard to ride. She's on a bit of a streak. She's really in the best racing shape of her career. She's listed at 4-1 on the morning line. Edgar Perez aboard to ride number 7, Both Sides, wins today's ninth race out at Gulfstream.
Ninth race at Gulfstream, number 7, Both Sides. The 7, Both Sides, is Jonathan Nardoon's pick in the ninth and final at Gulfstream. And, Jonathan, all I can say is Gulfstream is the only racetrack really was kind of holding up competition this week, so far this week, around the country. And that was even a testament yesterday where only one jockey had more than one winner.
Yeah. Let's look at Santa Anita ninth and final, Ralph, for a third and final radio play. And the number eight horse in here, Dr. Ray D, a four-year-old filly from the Bob Hess barn. I love when trainers reclaim horses, and that's the case here. Umberto Rispoli aboard to ride, 3-1 on the morning line. Number eight, Dr. Ray D, is a pick five, pick six single in today's ninth and final out at Santa Anita.
A pick five, a pick six, I guess a late pick four and a late pick three and a late double single as well.
There you go.
Right. Ninth race, number eight, Dr. Ray D, the eight horse, Dr. Ray D, in ninth race is your pick at Santa Anita. And we'll get you off this night, that's for sure. Got a full sheet of handicapping, both for Aqueduct, Gulfstream, and Santa Anita today. Right, Jonathan?
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe. Be well. Tomorrow we'll do whatever tracks you want to do.
Well, we'll see. I'll ask you to do take a look at the Saudi Cup. Because by the time we go on the air, the Saudi Cup will not be run yet. I think it goes about 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Pacific time. So we'll take a little look at that and see what you think.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right. You got it. Jonathan Ardoon for us. And we will be right back with Rich Eng. He's up next. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. It's now time to go out to Rich Eng, standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, Richie, you know, it's been kind of slim pickings as far as the racing handicapping and racing bets so far this week. Of course, it'll really ramp up over the weekend, starting out half a world away in Saudi Arabia and then making its way right through the country here. But, boy, yesterday, everybody, I think, became at least a hockey fan for one day between the hockey game between Canada and the United States. And it was one heck of a hockey game, I could tell you that.
Yeah, I was watching Ralph. I was doing my handicapping at Santa Anita, and that was a really, really intense game. It's really interesting to see pro athletes that are, you know, getting paid millions of dollars, you know, playing their hearts out literally because of the not the name of the team that they play for in the National Hockey League, but the country. Yeah. One team wore USA, the other team wore Canada. The national pride was much more important to them than anything else. And they both teams played great. I mean, it was hard to believe there was actually a loser, but a late goal by Connor McDavid in overtime, Canada 3-2.
Yeah, there's very few games, there's very few sporting events that had that feeling to it like that did. You know, I can remember when we won the Olympics against, you know, the Soviet Union. Do you believe in miracles type of game as well as was well said. I got to tell you, I read something that it really piqued my interest because now we're done with football for a while. We've got the March Madness coming up as far as college hoops are concerned, and we're just, you know, days away from flipping the calendar to March. But after that, you know, during March Madness, you know, we got spring training going on. After that, we get into baseball for the good part of the summertime into the fall before we get to the playoffs and the World Series. And I read heard a comment where during the spring training games, there's going to be several spring training games this year that's going to have a computer system to call balls and strikes, and along with the umpire. So they're using technology now for balls and strikes, and this is only a trial thing for some games in preseason spring training. But if it works out fine, they say that it may very well make its way to the major leagues by 2026, not replacing the home plate umpire, but assisting somewhat like the refs now in football assist with the videotape replay. What do you think?
Well, I've been paying attention to it too, Ralph, and I think it's long overdue because the technology is in place to do it. I know that they've been testing it for the last two seasons in the Pacific Coast League, and we have a team in the PCL, the Las Vegas Aviators, and I remember going to a game last year. The ballpark's a beautiful ballpark up in Summerlin, and they did have the computerized strike zone, and the way it worked is that the umpire, you know, has a the home plate umpire has a headset, you know, real tiny headset, and he is and he is directed that if a pitch is a ball or a strike, well, he doesn't have to worry about something that's right down the middle. But on borderline pitches, he gets a signal whether the computer tells him it's a ball or a strike, and then the batter has a opportunity to actually object to a strike or a ball call. And he can actually make a motion to the home plate umpire, and then they double check. But when you watch the game, you know, up in up in Summerlin, the Las Vegas Aviators, it barely affected the play. In other words, there weren't like, you know, 90-second delays for a ball or a strike. Right. It was almost instantaneous, and so that's really good. I think that's important if they're going to actually institute it in Major League Baseball, that it does not slow down the flow of the game.
Yeah, no question about that, and that's always a thought when you go to technology, like in football, you got to wait and go over, and they take a look at the play and all that stuff and make a decision. Sometimes that delay takes a little bit of steam out of whatever momentum is in the game, and you don't want that to happen in baseball. You know, they're trying their best in baseball now to make the game faster, not slower. So that'll be interesting, that's for sure. And as all baseball fans will tell you, they think the time has come, because some of the calls that umpires and officials in football do just dismiss the call. Really, that simple.
You know, Ralph, when I think about that technology, I mean, I can remember as a kid playing in my backyard in Stanford, Connecticut, playing wiffle ball. What me and my brothers would do is we would get like the cardboard box from the side of a refrigerator, and we would cut out the strike zone. And if the ball went through the opening, it was a strike, obviously. And if it hit the cardboard, it was a ball. You know, it in reality, this system is similar to what I did as a little kid. I mean, you have a computerized strike zone. If the ball goes through the area that says strike, well, it's a strike. If it's outside, it's a ball. So it's kind of a simplified version.
Yes, that's for sure, and a lot cheaper, too. Well, let's get started by taking a look at handicapping some races with the technology that we have for our handicappers. Where are we going today?
Let's go to race number five, Ralph. It's 1 mile on the turf. The rail is out 20 feet. A horse that has been nibbling quite a few times, but I think is making some changes to try to get over the hump. It's the number five, Lee's Baby Girl. Doug O'Neill drops down for a claiming tag for the first time. That's always a big class drop. First time on Lasix, And the best addition I like is Frankie Dettori has been named to ride. He rides the turf course just beautifully, whether it's the speed horse or just off the pace. But I think O'Neill wants to get this horse into the winner's circle. The 5, Lee's Baby Girl, first time on Lysics.
All right, 5th race at Santa Anita, the anchor race in the early pick 5 and early pick 4. Number 5, Leah's Baby Girl, Frankie Dettori aboard. And, you know, these are the final days that we'll be able to see Frankie Dettori ride in Southern California on a regular basis. He is planning on going back east and in Kentucky as well through the spring and the summertime. So Dettori aboard the 5, Leah's Baby Girl. That is your selection in the 5th race today at Santa Anita. You have a full sheet of handicapping for all of Santa Anita today at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. All right, Richie, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it. Coming up next, our closing act, and of course, that is John Lendo and Jerry Jackowitz. Don't go away.
Get ready to laugh with Punchlines with Frank Nicotero. Join Frank and his team of featured guests for your daily dose of comedy.
Burrito, the Pittsburgh of the West.
Poison. Yeah. Poison.
Sports. F for Falcons, Alex.
We were talking Derek Carr for MVP after 2 games.
Who's we?
Okay, me. Yeah. I was.
And the funniest social media posts.
People want to show off their food. Boom. Wiener on a guy's shoulder.
It's the Dark Colts. We bleed blue.
It's your one-stop spot for great laughs and a good time.
But a bump.
Find us on YouTube at Punchlines FN and join the chat live weekdays at noon Pacific for the ultimate blend of jokes, sports, and viral fun.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day in Las Vegas. Time to go out to Southern California, where John Lendo is standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Doing fine, my man. We're going to get to be a little bit warmed up here after the weekend. We're looking at an 80-degree day, the first, I believe, 80-degree day in this new year here in Las Vegas by Tuesday. How's that weather in Southern California?
It's going to be warm out here, Ralph. We should be right around the 80-degree mark this weekend at Santa Anita, so it's nice to see it warm up a little bit. The skies are clear, so good days for racing. We'll be fast and firm this weekend.
Now, I was remiss yesterday when we were going over some of the things on the show, where at the beginning of each racing week and at each racetrack that you have on the first day of that week, you update the jockey trainer standings, and we didn't get a chance to do that yesterday at Gulfstream Park. So I kind of want to catch everybody up on the stuff at Gulfstream Park. Now, if you don't have that in front of you, I do have it in front of me. So I'll go ahead and give out the what you had on the Linda report yesterday as the update and the jockey and trainer standings. Irad Ortiz Jr. had 78 on your card yesterday, but he did have one winner yesterday. So we give him 79. Tyler Gaffione also had one winner, so we're going to give him 43 now. Luis Saez has 47 wins. He had a win yesterday. And Edgar Zayas is there at 46. That's the jockey standing as of yesterday at Gulfstream Park, updating what you had on the sheet before the races yesterday on the Lindo report. As far as the trainers are concerned, none of the top trainers really had any winners. Safi Joseph Jr. is leading the pack there at 51. Jose D'Angelo at 28. And Mark Cassie has 26. Favorites through Sunday, it didn't count yesterday, but favorites through Sunday at Gulfstream Park, 34%. Now, of course, today is the first day of the week at Santa Anita, and your Linda report does have the update in the trainer and jockey standings at Santa Anita, so we'll let you do that.
Well, as far as the jocks go at Santa Anita, Flavian Pratt, he won 3 races Sundays. He's the new leading rider. He's got 34 wins at Santa Anita. Juan Hernandez is second with 31. And Umberto Rispoli, he rounds out the top 3. He's got 21 wins so far at the meet. We go to the trainers, and Mark Glatt has moved up to tie Bob Baffert on the top of the trainer standings. Both of those guys have 17 winners. Then you have Jeff Mullins with 14 and Doug O'Neill with 13. So a little slight changes there at the top.
Should I even ask about the favorites? Are we doing any damage there?
Well, favorites are doing damage.
Yeah,
260 races at the meet, Ralph. 260 races. Favorites have won 127 times. That's 48.9% for the meet.
Oh, man. Well, we all saw what happened on Sunday after we went off the show, obviously. Sunday, it was just a parade of favors. It got ridiculous. And then Monday, President's Day, it started out as a parade of favorites. And thank goodness that the ninth and final race on the card on Sunday, or maybe it was the 10th race, can't remember, it was the last race, though. The horse paid $39 and change, and he went wire to wire on the grass.
Yeah, it's almost kind of been like a golf tournament out there where there hasn't been much action, and all of a sudden you'll get one here or there. But it's been tough to find prices out there. You know, I like those $9 to $16 winners. That's kind of where I live. And it's been a little bit either you're getting $360 or you're getting $38.
Yeah, no question about that. And, I mean, we're talking about not only $3 winners, but there was a couple $2 and change winners as well. And they look like money in the bank in Cattle on the Ranch because they won by, you know, zip codes. But I guess they were talented horses.
Yeah, better fields this weekend, Ralph, and then we have Big Cap Day a week from Saturday, so we should have some good races in there. So, you know, maybe this is the kind of a lull in between the better races coming up.
Yeah, San Anita Handicap's going to come up really big, I think, and I think that day will have a multiple stakes races as well. So we're going to have a good time on Big Cap Day, which is it usually always is the first weekend of March, and you say it's on Saturday this year?
Next Saturday's March the 1st. That's the first Saturday in March. That's where it's right where it's located.
And it has such a rich history, the San Anita Handicap does. It was the very first $100,000 stakes race in the United States back in the 30s, I guess it was. We all remember the famous story about Seabiscuit trying to win that race over and over and over again, finally did win it. But there have been some great horses, great handicap horses, winning the Santa Anita Handicap. And in the old days, the Santa Anita Handicap was really a handicap because they had no problem with putting the weight on the superior-type horses. I think John Henry ran in that thing, I don't know, three or four times and carried, like, top weight, sometimes 128 to 130 pounds in that race.
Absolutely. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago, a couple of decades ago, where a lot of the big East Coast handicap horses would come out for the big cap because it was the event of the wintertime. But, you know, with the invent of Pegasus World Cup Day, and then you have now the Saudi Cup and at Maidan City, the Dubai World Cup, it's kind of lost a lot of luster. But to me, it's still the Santa Anita Handicap. It was the one day I tried to get out to Santa Anita every year.
Yeah, it has a rich history, that's for sure. And it will have its renewal on March the 1st, and we'll be watching and playing it. That is absolutely for sure. But the big cap was the big cap at one time, no question about that. All right, well, today we start out another weekend of racing at Santa Anita, 9 races, and as you say, weather in Southern California should be great, track should be fast, turf should be firm, and for the most part, there are you know, several competitive races on today's card at Santa Anita.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like I said, it gets the field sizes go up over the weekend, so we have some good races there and some really good wide open races Saturday, Sunday too. So I'm looking forward to playing the weekend at Santa Anita.
All right, let's start out with the winner today.
Let's go to race number 5. I'm going to take on Rich Eng here. I like number 2, Big Leap, coming out of a really strong group of maiden special weight company. Ran well to split the field that day. Drops in for a tag. Adds Lasix, gets a rider switch to Umberto Rispoli. I think a really good spot here. There's some speed in the race with Lee's Baby Girl, Atisha, and Agaro. So the pace ought to be legit, and that's what this horse needs to set him up. So 7-2 in the program. Number 2, Big Leap, race 5, Santa Anita.
All right, the 2-horse Big Leap in the 5th race is your play for the race day listeners. Richie came with the 5, so the Sirocco Exacta play then will be the 2-5 Exacta box. That'll be the Sirocco play. You like the 2, and I'm going to depend on my Italian friends there, Rispoli and Dettori, to get a job done for me today. That's for sure. All right. Your Linda report is available right now here in the South Point Racebook free of charge. Covers all the races today at Santa Anita. A suggested late pick 4 and that coast-to-coast pick 5, because they have one today between Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park. You have a suggestion as well there. And all that goody information we've been talking about. One comprehensive sheet for today. The Linda report here at the South Point free of charge, exclusively complimentary to the horse players, because they love horse players here at the South Point. Hey, thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. You got it. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Well, it was interesting, the conversation we had yesterday about the horses that we, you know, they get action on the tote board, and are horses that normal handicappers with their normal handicapping, you know, systems don't come up with some of those horses, and they have to reflect and look again, because it seems like by money, by virtue of money bet on the horse that's not traditional or normal, that it becomes a hot horse.
Yeah, well, money is a handicapping factor. It demonstrates the opinion of a certain group of people, mm-hmm. other handicappers or insiders, maybe, of a different group of people, and they show their they vote with their dollars. Usually, handicappers like myself, I like to seal that, and I bet as late as I possibly can. Uh-huh. Not because I'm trying to hide my money from anybody. I'm just trying to make sure that I have all the information I possibly can. I can see the horse posting up. I can see the way he's warming up down the backstretch. I can see the money that's come in early. I can see the money that's coming late. These are all advantages to me as a bettor, as a handicapper, mm-hmm. and I want to take advantage of every single one of them. And surely, if there's a big money flow on a horse, particularly early money, on a horse that seems to handicap poorly, probably with a morning line of like 7, 8, 10, 12, 20 to 1, all of a sudden starts to show a lot of interest dollar-wise, I have to adjust for that. I have to make room in my play so that horse is included, because he's got some chance to win, greater than what I originally thought.
Jerry, you know, I take that as, a, like you said, a fine tweaking of handicapping. But I want to remind everybody that your power pages, not only do you have ratings for horses with the power page numbers, but you have star horses, feature plays, pop-out keys, value plays, all of the keys there that help people out as well. And when I was talking about what happened over the weekend at Santa Anita, on Sunday, dead favorites. I mean, just a parade of favorites. And it started out that way on Monday as well. However, in the last race at Santa Anita, the horse went wire to wire and paid $39 and change. And you had it as one of your, you know, your star horses on your sheet. So I want to remind everybody to take a look at those indicators on your sheet besides just the flat numbers.
Well, the star horse is, to me, the basis of my betting strategy. That's where I'm looking to make a bet, mm-hmm. If the price is right. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to see where a horse is going. You know, like Gretzky said, you try and go to where the puck is going to go. I'm trying to go to where the horse's form is going to take us. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a forecast. It's a projection, but that's where I'm trying to go. And those are the ones that get the star. I think they're harder for everybody else to see, so... You know, I think they make a lot of sense as a betting, as a base to my betting system.
You're absolutely right. They are harder to see as a regular handicapper, and that's why those demarcations on your sheet mean something for people. Don't forget to get the power pages today for Santa Anita and Aqueduct. You got a minute to give me two horses. Go.
All right, let's go over to the second at Aqueduct. Excuse me, the sixth at Aqueduct. We have Dots Dollar, the seventh horse. I'll play the 7 over the 1-2-4-5, do some reverses, 1-2-4-5 back over the 7, but the 7, Dots Dollar, Marat up at 9-2.
Real quick, the 1 is scratched, so the 7 will be over 2-4-5 in reverse. The 7 over 2-4-5, the 7 is the key. Jonathan Ardoon came earlier with the 5, and you have that as part of yours. So another Sirocco play at Aqueduct between Jonathan and Jerry. The exacta box, the 5775 Sirocco play box there. But you like the 7 over 2, 4, and 5. Now we get to Santa Anita.
Yeah, I'll go to the second race here. What we are, we're always in constant conflict. The 7 horse, constant conflict at 5-2 for Harris. I love the horse. I think he's just going to run over the field. I'll take the 7 over the 4, 5, 6, small reverses to break even. But I'm about the 7, constant conflict.
All right, Santa Anita. Santa Anita, second race, the 7, constant conflict. The 7 over 4, 5, 6 in reverse. The 7 is the key in the second at Santa Anita. And those are the plays from our handicappers and the Race Day Show for this Friday. Don't forget, early tomorrow morning, 5 a.m., the book opens here at the South Point for the Saudi Cup card, and then we'll be rolling in here at 7 a.m. But the race day show, all time, of course, is Pacific. Go ahead and say it, Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.